You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Apologies for the delay. We had a week off. It was not fully intentional. The first day was intentional because I was at Disney, hence the little Disney hoodie thing that I'm wearing. Then the second day was a travel day, and it was what it was. But when I got back, I had the Rona. But I am good. As you know, if you've been paying attention to what's been going on over on this end, I've been coughing a lot as it was, and it just got worse, and now it's better. So, not saying we are fully without expectorancy, however you want to say it, but nonetheless, we are a little bit calmer now. Let's get into, I know, a week delayed. Let's get into my thoughts on the game. Let's get into the stuff about the Jim Harbaugh rumors and everything. It kind of seems like there might be, this very well could be over by the time that that this posts. Maybe that's the hope, that's the goal. We'll get something out of this, and then eventually we'll transition into basketball. But they're on hiatus anyway, so it doesn't matter exactly that much. But anyway, so before we get completely started, today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Experience the game like never before with Sonos Arc, the premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. Visit Sonos.com to learn more. I will tell you, it makes a huge difference when you have a soundbar. I think I maybe had told some of you I had bought a new TV not too long ago, and I was all excited because the TV sound, it was like, that said, like, I had a soundbar as it was, but the TV sound, they were like, oh, it's great. The whole panel is a speaker, series of speakers. It sounds great just out of the box. And then I listened to it out of the box, and it's like, this does not sound as good as a soundbar. Now I've got the whole Dolby Atmos situation and all of that stuff. It's great. All right, let's get into some of the game stuff here. A week plus removed because I wasn't available, thanks to dying to death as I was for a while. So it was the first time that I've had to sit upright except for Disneying or being on a plane and all of that. So nonetheless, all right. So here's the thing about the Michigan-Georgia game. I'm going to try to keep it brief because I know that a lot of you probably don't want to hear a ton about it anymore. But that's the kind of beatdown. And I know 34-11 doesn't seem like a crazy beatdown. Michigan, I believe, outscored Georgia 8-7 in the second half. But Georgia was as advertised, and I know I'm the one who always is saying bad stuff about Georgia. We'll see what happens tonight, Monday night, when they play Alabama again. But this was every bit the team of five stars that we had heard that it was, right? Probably should have listened to a little intuition that said that maybe Michigan wasn't in the same league, and that was the case. That said, I mean, you can't take anything away from what Michigan was this season. It was a wonderful season. It really was incredible. What it does is it tells you how far away Michigan is from being where it probably wants to be, which is an issue, right? Because right now, Michigan, it seems leagues apart from where Georgia is. Now, the good news is it seems, at least this year, it was a league ahead of, you know, most of the Big Ten. Not all, but I mean, obviously some of those games were close. Penn State, close. I'm not going to include Rutgers in there. But it was better than Ohio State. I think if you would have played the Michigan State game 10 times, Michigan wins probably 7 or more of them. The unfortunate thing about going up against, and same thing, by the way, with Ohio State, I think Michigan would have beaten Ohio State 7 out of 10 times if they would have played 10 times. I think the bad thing about playing Georgia is I think that Michigan would have lost all 10 if they would have played 10 times. There would have been no way. And the moment that I saw Jordan Davis line up in the handshake across from Andrew Vistardis, who, by the way, is a large gentleman. He's a large human being. That kind of told you that it wasn't going to be a good day for Michigan. It kind of didn't matter anything with the offense. There were some questionable things, right? Like slow developing plays when the offensive line couldn't stop them. That's an issue. Obviously not being able to run the ball, the offensive, like, I mean, Georgia was everything that Michigan had feared it could possibly be. It just was one of those things where it was too much talent, too good of scheme mixed, and there was just nothing that Michigan was going to be able to do. That doesn't mean that other teams aren't unbeatable, right? Like, I don't think that Alabama, for instance, is unbeatable, right? I think Texas A&M, as it stands now, and that's, this very well could change considering it just is bringing in the best class in the history of recruiting. It's one of those things where Texas A&M beat Alabama. I think that that can happen, right? I wouldn't be surprised given, like, I mean, Auburn almost beat Alabama and Penn State beat Auburn. I know transitive property doesn't always work. But it's one of those things where I don't think that this is every team. I think Georgia just happened to be that collective, right, of talent, size, speed, athleticism, coaching, all of the above. I don't think there's anything you were going to be able to do to neutralize that. Georgia has had the most five stars, the most talent in the country for a long time, and this year it just seems like maybe it's coming together, and we'll see again by the time a lot of you watch or listen to this, either they're national champions or they're runners-up. But it's disappointing because Michigan really had that team of destiny feel coming on strong late, and then it just didn't work. I would be curious to see if Michigan could have found a way to get a lead or something like that, then that would have been a different thing. I just think that Georgia out-Michigan to Michigan in a lot of ways because a lot of the things that when you look at Michigan that it wants to do, Georgia did all of it, right? Even down to the pass to a wide sorry, pass to a running back who passes it to a receiver in the end zone, to tight ends doing what they're doing, all of that stuff. The aggressiveness on defense, the stout defensive play. But I think the good news is it gives Michigan something to aspire to, and now you know what it needs to be. Now the question is, can it get there? So let's continue that conversation momentarily. Actually, don't need to look at anything here because I can just tell you all about Built Bar. Now, here's the thing about Built Bar. If you don't know about it, I love it. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I haven't had one in a couple weeks now because I've been out of town. But I eat them up daily. I have bought dozens of boxes. It is high protein, low calorie, low carb. I love peanut butter brownie, coconut brownie chunk. I have the eggnog ones, which are phenomenal. Almost every flavor that I've had is like better than the last. So it's incredible. I put my money where my mouth is. Like I said, I've bought dozens of boxes. Bought dozens of boxes. So go to built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's built.com, promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your next order of Built Bar. All right, I'll tell you what. It is difficult being back in Michigan after 10 days in Florida. Just what a time. And obviously not ideal to come back and be sick. I mean, I was sick kind of throughout, still with my sinusitis that I was fighting off. I also overdosed on cough medicine on the night before the game. That was fun. We did the live podcast, and I bought some Cepacol. And that's you know, like got benzocaine in it. You're supposed to have 12 in like a 24-hour period max. I had it in like a 3 or 4-hour period. So I was wondering, like, as I was out at night, I'm at the media party, then I'm out with friends, and I'm like, I don't feel so good. Well, why is that? Oh, yeah. That was smart. But it was a magical time, aside from the game, but I mean, still, it was great to be there. It's great that Michigan got there. I think the big thing is if Michigan can keep everything alive as far as the coaching consistency. At this point, you're losing one coach in Sean Nua. I think that there's options to replace. Certainly, my choice would be go internal and promote Ryan Osborne. Certainly seems like that would probably be a very popular move. But we'll see if that ends up being the place that Michigan's going. And then if you can keep the rest of the staff intact, I think a lot of what happened this year for Michigan is in large part due to the staff, right? The players say like the resurgence from the staff was a big thing. And then player led. And yeah, you're going to lose some of those guys. You're going to lose Aiden Hutchinson. You're going to lose Brad Hawkins. But you keep Cade McNamara. I think J.J. McCarthy, even as a second-year player, might be the type of guy that could be that type of leader. Really, honestly, that trio of young players, Andrell and Donovan Edwards rounding that out, those could be some guys that have those leadership capabilities. Offensively, I don't think that they're short on that. Blake Corum certainly could be a leader. Obviously, Ronnie Bell, already a team captain. He'll be back, and he'll be a leader. I think the question ends up being is who on the defense, because my pick would have been Chris Hinton, and he's departing early for the NFL. So it's a question of that. And then there's obviously going to be retooling both in the middle of the line. Who's going to be that next defensive tackle, assuming that Mazi Smith ends up staying? You have that, and then you've got to figure out your secondary because now you're losing three or four guys. DJ Turner returning, and then is it going to be one of these great new freshmen as the other corner now that Vincent Gray is declared for the draft, or is it going to be someone that's already on the roster? You've lost both your corners from the 2020 class, you didn't really, if memory serves, you didn't really bring in anyone incredible that's like play right away type in 2021. So you're really relying heavily on 2022. And then safety-wise, I mean, you've got plenty of guys there that have just been chomping at the bit, getting ready, but you ought to replace both now that Daxton Hill as well has decided to go early. So there's a lot of retooling on the defensive side of the ball. You're looking at a lot of new starters on that side. Offensively, I mean, you return almost everybody. You plug in Olu from Virginia. Then I'd say probably either Trente Jones or Carson Barnhart at that other that right tackle position. Otherwise, you're plug and play right there. And yeah, you lose Haskins, but I think that you've still got a great 1-2 punch in Corum and Donovan Edwards. And we'll see if Tavier Dunlap and C.J. Stokes and see how those guys all kind of work together. And I think that there's a lot to work with, but you need that leadership and you need that consistency. And that comes to the big thing is, does Jim Harbaugh stay? If he stays, I think then you can run it back next year. Maybe it takes two. Hopefully it doesn't to get back. But certainly Michigan's got the talent. They had a really good formula this year. And, you know, if you've got the quarterbacks, you've always, and an offensive line, you've always got a chance. That's just a matter of the defense. And how do you get to where Georgia is? You have to try to, A, have the consistency. Like, if Michigan has to go through a coaching change suddenly, and I don't expect that they'll go for some crazy outside hire, I'd imagine they're going to try to find a way to keep things in-house if that happens. I don't believe it will, but it would be a situation where you, if you can keep all the coaching staff intact, keep the schemes intact, keep the people intact, that is just a matter of essentially going and getting higher level recruits. And I think that Michigan's had a lot of really good PR. I know it didn't go well for the game, but Michigan's had a lot of really good PR for the sake of getting to the college football playoff. No, it didn't look good. But hey, scored 11 points. That's better than some others. Yes, that is a dig at Michigan State, but, better than Ohio State in 2016 as well. So, you've got some things that are working for you. Now you need to parlay that into, a little bit, higher end, and that's going to start in 2023. And, you hope it can keep on going from there. All right. We're going to keep this short, especially because we got the national championship game going on today. And I don't want everything that I'm saying to be rendered moot if, you know, say Harbaugh signs tonight, which is the rumor. Anyway, let's continue on. But before we do, I do have a little something else to tell you about. Hey, Michigan fans, this is Isaiah Hole. Don't know why I had to say that. With an incredible app, everyone who buys gas needs to know about Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use the promo code SCORE and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price of the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code SCORE to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making just as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime, but to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use the promo code SCORE to get 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code SCORE. All right, we're keeping this short and sweet for my first one back because I'm not used to talking for 20 minutes anymore. It's been a week of not talking at all, not opening my mouth. I'm sure I still, yeah. Anyway. That's the big thing. Again, I say that's the big thing, but the big thing is that consistency. So how do you get to where Georgia is? I think that you're not necessarily super far away, even though it feels like it. Obviously, you've just got to build on what you've already got. You have to have dominant lines, and that's clearly what Michigan wants to do. And they've certainly got some players. You look at like a Rayshon Benny. They got George Rooks. They got like Iwana in the last class. You need to build on those things. You have to be able to go out and win recruiting battles to get a Walter Nolan type. You need to get some game breakers on the interior. Even when you have an Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo on the edge, you need some guys in the middle. You need your Mo Hurst again, right? You need those types of guys. Defensively, Michigan's been sending some of these guys into the first round for a while. Some of them have been doing really well in the NFL. You can't tell me that it's that much of a difference, right? And especially when you look at some of the guys that have been out there being able to do a lot of really good things, like a Khalil Mack, he came from Buffalo. You know, some of these freak athletes aren't necessarily your five stars, but you've got to find a way to get the size, speed, differential. You have to have both. And Michigan is getting there, and clearly the physical aspect, being able to out-physical somebody up front, Michigan was able to do that in the Big Ten, which is impressive enough. Now the question is how can you get there to do it against a Georgia? And then I think the next other step is to continue to build out the offense. Because, right, the offense was really vanilla to begin the season. You hope that you can get to a place where you can be more like an Ohio State. Not necessarily schematically, but I liked what Michigan was doing offensively as the season wore on. Now it's just a matter of building that out so it is something that just kind of runs, you know, what doesn't rely necessarily on having the best quarterback in the world, though you need that, I think, in order to be able to win a championship. Yeah, but I don't think necessarily, like, you look at Ohio State, they've been plug and play with quarterbacks for a while. And then when they get to the NFL, not so good. But still, you need to be able to have a college quarterback that is really good. I think you have those in Cade and JJ, and you hope you can build on that by getting Adante Moore in 2023, see what you can do with some different types of talent like an Alex Orji, see what you've got working on kind of that those fronts. So I think that if you can get those things working, get the passing game going a lot more so you're not relying as heavily on your run game. You want to be able to run the ball, but you don't want it to be the crutch that if, hey, we can't run the ball, you want to be able to just be able to throw all over someone and then make them respect the run after that. I think that's the next step. So there's a lot, right? Because it's being physical, being able to out-physical someone. Michigan can do that in the Big Ten. We'll see if they can find a way to do that against some other top-tier opponents in college football. Got to get the size, the speed. You've got some quarterbacks. You've got some receivers. You just got to figure out how to use them more as this goes on. Don't necessarily be single-handedly running the ball, but you also have to replace what you've replaced. And then defensively, you've got to do the same thing on the other defensive side, getting that defensive front up to speed. And really what it comes down to for me is Michigan needs to get elite linebacker play, and that's something it hasn't had in a while. So it's that's the next step. You've got to be able to go out and recruit some really high-end linebackers. Trying to think, when was the last time Michigan had a five-star linebacker? It's been a very long time. I mean, you can include Jabril Peppers in there because he technically played linebacker, but you need to be able to go out and not just have four-star linebackers. You need five-star types. If you can get some five-star linebackers and a five-star defensive tackle, probably more so than having your back end, I think that's the way to build things, right? Build things in the trenches. But obviously you also need to be able to have guys that can cover. Michigan's got that in a lot of these new 2022 guys that you're going to be seeing this year and beyond. So hopefully that works out for Michigan. We'll see if it does. Anyway, all right, we're right about the 21-minute mark. That is going to do it for our show. Shortest show ever, maybe, just about, but that's just what we're going to do today. Like I said, easing back into this for me as I learn to sit upright again for the second sickness in a month's time. Super fun. Anyway, all right, thanks for watching and or listening. We will talk to you tomorrow, Tuesday. Peace.